Bush and Richie here with your Daily Takeaway podcast. Before we get going into the show that you're about to hear, which is a cracker, I just need to share my fears about our car that I have at the moment.
This is worrying me because I was very excited when you also made the switch to electric motoring. And it's been plain sailing for you so far.
Well, sailing is a very good choice of words because when I was down DJing in Minehead for the Shine On Weekender, I did the show down from Minehead, you remember, terrible storms down there. Mm-hmm. And I drove through quite a lot of floodwater to the point where at one point a car went the other way past me down this country lane in Minehead. It was literally up to around the wheels and water went over the windscreen as if I was like in a submersible. Yeah. It was just crazy. And this week, I've started to feel like the car interior smells a little bit. Now, this is quite triggering for me because obviously I had the situation where the toad died in my walking boot. and I had that in the boot of the other car for ages. And I could never get rid of the smell. Mm. You know, like you get this thing with cars sometimes where if it gets a bad smell, you can't get rid of it. And I'm worrying now, I want to hit it early. If this is a thing, because maybe some flood water's got into the car, how do I hit that early and sort it out?
I think with the toad, I suggested bicarbonate of soda.
Yes.
Because that does take smells away from stuff, but obviously that didn't work because the dead toad was still in the car at the time.
The whole time I was getting it cleaned at the car wash, he was still dead in the boot.
All I would say to you is, be thankful that it was an electric car, because if it was just a normal car, there's every chance you would still be in that floodwater right now because your spark plugs would have got wet.
Well, this is it. The electric car thing is new to me. I was thinking as I was about to put my foot down and go through these big puddles, stroke river things, is it better or worse to be an electric car?
It's better.
You'd think it'd be worse though, wouldn't you, if it's electric?
You would, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You've got visions of too many Hanna-Barbera cartoons with like all your skeletons being like shown up. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was worried about because I hadn't really kind of had a pep talk about, is it all right to go through? And this is interesting because when we go and visit my parents-in-law in rural Northumberland, there's a river that you've got to cross to get to, you know, proper rural. There's a bit of a river that you have to cross to get to Katie's mum and dad's house. And at certain times of the year, that can be quite high.
Wow.
I'd only be stuck there frying the circuits in the electric car.
Well, and the family.
And the family, yeah, family as well. Hugely concerned about them. So any initial starters for getting rid of the smell? Bicarbonate soda out the way.
Yes, bicarbonate soda done. I'd say part with £30 and go to a hand car wash.
Do you reckon they'll sort it out for me?
Yes.
They've never looked at me in the eye since I had that dead toad in the boot. That's any problem.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
Hope you've had a good weekend. Been a busy weekend for me. I've set some kind of record, I would say. Done 4 trips to the tip in 4 days.
4 tip trips in 4 days?
Yes.
That's incredible.
The incredible thing about it is I feel it's given me a good chance to really get to know the tip people and the various different sections of the tip and where everything is if you're wanting to dispose of certain bits. Because it was a big bed had to get rid of and take it up there in a car that isn't really made for taking up big items. So I had to really take it apart and all that kind of
thing. So if you've been up there a few times in a short period of time, do they want to see your ID every single time? Because the big thing at the moment, they've even got a plastic guard dog at the one in Leon Sea, like a German Shepherd, right? Just to add to that security measures thing. But I reckon even if I went up there twice in the same day, they'd still want to see my driver's licence.
I was recognised a couple of times going up on some of the latter occasions, yes.
Oh, so you're in. You're in the inner sanctum.
Oh, yeah, they know me now.
So do you ever, I mean, I always think like, do you have a favourite bit of the tip? Because when you go there a fair old bit, you know, it's like it's in very much in loads of different sections now. You park near the bit that you're going to. But I always think for me, I love the porcelain section. Now, there's mm-hmm. a section of the tip where in R1 in Leon C, they've got a skip where you put old porcelain.
Yeah.
And it's like a load of like lost and unwanted antiques because mm-hmm. you've got like people don't have the heart to hoy them directly in and smash them up in the skip. So I went there recently and there was like a, on the side, there's like a porcelain Edwardian boy. There's a coach and horses. And they look slightly haunted, and I feel kind of quite bad for them. To be honest, it's like appearing into other people's mantelpieces.
There's the difference between you and me. For you, you see the item that's gone, you see a story behind it.
There is a story behind all of them.
For me, it's the scrap metal bit, because when you do hoy that into the great big hopper, the clang is so satisfying.
So you live for the noise.
I live for the noise, and that's a noise that you can't get in any other thing that you do in life.
Well, do you know what? I mean, I've been tempted to jump into the cardboard bit. It's a cheap version of jump in.
It is, isn't it?
You don't need to hire the socks.
It's like a cheap soft play, isn't it?
It really is a cheap soft play. So we put it to you, our dear listeners. I mean, everyone listening to this has been to the tip at some point. Do you have a favourite section?
Justin is in Birmingham and says it's the entrance to theirs because they've got a reuse bit where you can pick stuff up from.
Ooh.
He once got a K9 from Doctor Who and uses it as a garden gnome now.
That's just the tip in a nutshell, isn't it?
Is it ever?
You wouldn't get the experience anywhere else. John loves all of it. He says, I love the way the calm ambience mixes with the smell of diesel fumes, rotting vegetation, and the sounds of smashing glass. It's a treat for all the senses.
Brian would like to put forward small electricals, which I find a frustrating part because you're seeing things that are being disposed of, but because they've been put there.
Yeah.
And they're rubbish. You might see a device and think, oh, that's cool, but you can't take it because it's probably faulty and could cause a problem to your house.
Whenever I go past the small electricals bit, I'm always, my heart is filled with joy that people are still whisking stuff. Still using whisks in 2025. Good on you. Anna says she loves the entrance and the moment I'm waved in because of my residence permit. I'm over-enthusiastic with gratitude, thereby delaying the next vehicle. Even just getting allowed in makes her day, doesn't it?
Kathy, tell us yours.
Oh, yes, it's the glass. It's the glass skip or that great big container they've got because it really brings out my inner vandal.
Wow. So
where else do you get to throw glass and not get arrested?
That's a very good point. Life advice for all of us there. What was the last thing you chucked into the glass section and heard it smash, Kathy?
Oh, I don't know. That I'd be letting you know how much I drink. I might just keep that one to myself, boys, if you don't mind.
That's all right, Kathy. It's good to hear someone who's got as much excitement for the tip as we do. What's the best thing that you can tell us about your local tip?
Oh, the folks that run it are always friendly, but flipping heck, you have got to show your pass or you don't get in.
It's like Fort Knox or the Pentagon, isn't it, getting in there? That's for sure.
Yeah. No driver's licence. It's got to be your pass for the tip or it's off you go.
Okay. And then just given what you're talking about there, Kathy, do you panic a little bit when it's bin night and you're doing your recycling for the glass?
I do try and keep a level of calm on it. And if I've got a glass with something in it, that does help, doesn't it? So
there she goes again.
There she's off again. Good to speak to you, Kathy.
Okay, boys. Bye.
Joel in Worcestershire says the plasterboard or gypsum disposal area. I'm very much not a tradesman, but it does make me feel particularly manly when I'm dropping off bits of plasterboard from any work we've done around the house.
What is gypsum? Is that the same as flotsam that you get in the sea?
Look it up.
Gypsum. John says, no contest, has to be the non-ferrous section. He says, come at me. I don't even know what these are. Oh, right, we've got Emma on the line. Emma, what's your favourite bit of the tip?
It's the entrance to the Lifford Lane tip at King's Norton in Birmingham because they've got hundreds of gnomes that they've rescued from garden waste collections.
Oh, wow, so people have turned up to chuck their gnomes away and then the people at the Lizard Lane tip, which sounds something like Lord of the Rings in its own right, they've actually saved them.
Yeah, well, they've rescued them from the containers. People have donated them. I've actually got they're very famous. If you Google Lifford, LIFFORD, Lane gnomes, they've actually got, information about them. But I've actually got one in my garden.
So this gnome collection that's at the front of the entrance to the tip, can you then rehome some of the gnomes that are there then?
Oh, no, they're very possessive about their gnomes. No, that you can't re-gnome them, if you'll excuse the pun.
Re-gnome, see what she's done there.
Yeah, but because I worked at Birmingham City Council and I knew the guys at the entrance and I worked at Lifford Lane, they let me have one of their gnomes. But they also have Christmas gnomes and they have Daleks and, yeah, they are very famous, those gnomes.
And then, because there used to be a place when I used to live in Wiltshire, we used to go to Bath at Christmas, and there was this person who, I don't know if they're still there anymore now, at was it the Royal Crescent in Bath? They used to have like a load of gnomes out the front of their house. And I always used to wonder, at night, do they come alive and start chatting to each other? Do you think people, the gnomes there, get up to stuff whilst the tip's all locked up?
Oh, they'd have some tales to tell, I'm sure. Yeah, definitely.
It could be a TV series on Channel 5. Watch this space.
It will be. Yeah, definitely.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
So look, if you're one of the lucky people who got to see Radiohead in London over the weekend, we're very jealous. You must be feeling very proud of yourself right now. They're playing again tonight and tomorrow at the O2 in the round, which is a phrase that makes you feel a bit sick. I feel like saying under the lights with football. But anyway, look, our producer Nick went to see Radiohead on Friday night. And do you know, here's the interesting thing. It's not the band that has been the chat of our WhatsApp group. It's something else. The big chat of our Home Time Show WhatsApp group is the fact that producer Nick paid £9.95 for a pint.
Oh.
It's happening, folks. The doomsday scenario that has been like something out of a Black Mirror episode of the £10 pint. It's on the horizon.
It's horrific.
It's there.
It's horrific.
And I've seen photographic evidence of the bit where you're supposed to tap your card for £9.95. How do we ever get there? How do we get to this?
I can remember, and I'm sure you're the same, being at university in the 90s and being in the student union and paying £2 for a pint.
£2 a pint.
Yeah.
And then suddenly fast forward. And imagine we'd you know, gone back in time, found you in the student union,
yeah,
told you to stop what you're doing, and then said to you, said to you, look, in not that long into the future, yes, I've got a hat that tells me what the scores are on the football. It's the future. But you're also going to be paying £9.95 a pint. You wouldn't believe it.
I would have laughed in your face.
Exactly. No surprises. See what we've done there? Mm. So look, I don't know how you feel about this, but it's quite sad though, isn't it? Because I feel like with the ticketing, we're being taken for a ride,
yeah,
with all this kind of like dynamic pricing thing. When you're lucky enough to get through the ballots and actually get into these flipping gigs,
yeah,
then you're being turned on the spit for, you know, people watching change drop out your pockets to take all the money off you for a pint of drink. Someone's got in touch that they got charged £5.50 for a Pepsi Max.
What?
You can't even have Pepsi Max in peace these days.
I can't remember what I was paying for Pepsi Max in the student union, sadly.
So look, if you think £10 pint is just around the corner, I'm afraid it ain't an episode of Black Mirror, it's reality.
It feels like we are in grim times, so it's good to look for some optimism. Wayne has got in touch and said, lads, I still pay in the student bar at work at the London School of Economics £4 a pint.
There is hope.
There is hope. I'm going to quit radio and become an economist.
If you can say it, you
which
can
is
do
a
it.
Struggle.
Absolute Radio. Absolute Radio. The Daily Takeaway.
Now it's time for a brand new Monday night feature on this radio show. It's called Versus, where Rich and I pitch two things in life against each other. We get your views and you have to tell us what you think is better.
So, with the budget this Wednesday lunchtime and ahead of Black Friday at the end of the week and bargains to be found aplenty.
Oh, aye.
What's better, cash or card?
Very simple. Card, 100%. On to the next thing.
No.
Honestly, I hate cash, really. I hate the way that the coins and that roll all over the floor whenever you take your trousers off getting into bed. Hate that. And then I can't wait for you know, the fact that we've still got cash in this in 2025 with some of the technology that we've got, AI and everything, is ridiculous.
If you want to talk about technology, my friend, have you not seen those change counting machines in supermarkets?
Oh, dearie me. I mean, yeah, that is quite satisfying.
Coinstar is technology, my friend.
That is not technology. I think, you know, the way forwards, the future is cashless, and I think we're probably about 3 or 4 years away from getting rid of it completely.
Cash is king. Cash is king.
Taxi driver.
If I've got money in my wallet, then my bank balance isn't being touched. I'm just spending out of my wallet. If I've got money in my pocket, I'm less likely to spend it because I'll just see it disappearing. Plus, if I've got a pound in my pocket, I can use a supermarket trolley anywhere I want.
We've got a little thing on our keyring for that, so just saying. Hey, the other thing is as well, right, if you get money out and then you break that note,
yep,
10 or 20 pounds or whatever, I've never actually physically seen a 50, you spend it more quickly than you do if you've got the card thing going on. Do you know what I mean? If you break a note, it's one-way traffic. It's downhill from there.
Which is why, if I've got a note, because cash is king, remember?
Well, it ain't.
Then I know all I've got is that £20 note and I can't spend more than that.
But when you break it, you're going to go through it more quickly.
No. I'm going to win this one.
I think I'm... is it me v you? Is this how this is panning out?
It looks that way.
One of those. right then.
very interesting point coming on the text. If you get rid of cash, how do children learn the value of money? They won't have any coins and cash to play with. It's just numbers on a screen. You think about, as a kid, those toy tills that you would have to play with. Get rid of cash. There's no toy tills.
I know, but yeah, my kids play with they've got a toy till with plastic pretend cash, which is cool, but they can't spend it in the streets, do you know what I mean?
That's a good point.
Ridge says he misses the old barter system.
The barter system. Barter,
what about bartering? Rather than going down there, you know, cash one side of things or card the other, what about saying, I'll give you two bags of grain? Let's not rule that out this evening.
Claire in High Wycombe makes a very important point. We can't go cashless. Think of the Tooth Fairy.
Tooth Fairy can do chip and pin. Got to get with the times, mate. Do you know what I mean?
I think if the Tooth Fairy's doing chip and pin, you may disturb pillows a little bit too much there, Tooth Fairy.
Well, I don't know. You could just hang the kind of... the wand? Is that what we're saying now? Hang the wand near the pillow? Oh, dear. This one here. Oh, let me have a look. One second. Wrong page. So, we've got Raheem from Leicester says, card is king unless you're playing Monopoly.
That's a very good point.
It's kind of like a put down, a diss track.
Card, how can you shop online with cash, says this person. Well, actually, you can. I think back in the day when you go through catalogues and then you decide what you want and you send in a check.
How would that pan out these days, yeah?
Yeah.
That would work, wouldn't it?
Yes, I think it would, yeah.
Okay, Argos, just wait there. Send me the product. The cheque will be with you any day now. Okay, yeah. Derek from Lincolnshire's been on. Says, cash or card? With cash, you're limited to spend what you have, but with card, you can spend the same amount and earn cash back on your purchases, so card wins every time.
Cashback's an interesting point.
Cashback is a good thing. Dan Shelley's got a very interesting message here on social media. He says, guys, £10 cash paid to a shop stays £10 forever. Mm-hmm. It just changes hands. £10 on a card instantly becomes £9.70 or less after fees, then £9.40 next transaction. Cash keeps its value, card bleeds it dry.
I'm not very clever.
Neither am I.
I feel like this is the beginning of like a GCSE maths question. I need to give the figure as to what it is after five transactions or something.
Does that, I mean, you're listening to this and you know your currencies, is Dan from the Bureau de Change on a point here? I don't know.
Jackie from Worksop pivots. You can't beat that feeling of finding cash in your birthday card.
Oh, that is amazing. Trying to feel the card to see if you can guess whether it's pound coins or notes.
Or shaking the card once you've opened it and thinking, surely they've put something in here, surely.
Surely there's someone in there. Or you get a £5 gift token for boots from your grandparents like we used to do. Me and my brother, right? What good have I got in boots? I'm fine about it now, it's fine.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
So there's the show. Hope you enjoyed it. Something's just dawned on me based on what we were talking about earlier on. You don't think lightning could strike twice, could you?
What, it'd be a second toad?
Well, do you know what? This is the thing. The smell in my car turned out to be a toad first time round, right? Yeah. I went down to Minehead. I had to park in a really wet conditions and put a load of my kind of kit back in the boot after I DJed and everything. You don't think someone else has jumped in my kit again and it's gone back in my boot? Two toads. Two road trips.
Or a field mouse or something if it was like back of nowhere.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine that. That'd be the worst thing ever, wouldn't it? Lightning could strike twice.
With you, I feel like it could.
It probably could.